Well, it's good to be back in Brooks. When I came back, it didn't feel like, because it kind of feels like home in Mexico. But it's sure good to see everyone. And I wanted to say thank you to Pastor Jordan and Tamsin and for all of you for your prayer and support. And for a church, if we don't have a church, we can't go. You can't be sent. And God established the church. He's established this church, and he wants the church to flourish and to be strong so that we can be sent out and things can take place. And lots can happen in a year. And I just wanted to introduce you to Bernadita. Bernadita's from Ecuador. We've known each other for about 9 months. It's long-distance relationship, but we're honoring God in our relationship. And if you don't honor God in what you do, you're missing it. So it's so important to honor God in our relationships with one another and with dear friends. So it's good to be here. I sent a whole bunch of photos here, and they didn't all make it through Gmail. So we're going to have a few. And I just want to share with you a little bit what takes place. And then along with that, I believe God's given me a short word to share with you also. But, it's good to be back in Brooks. We had a Martin Cattle Company steak the other day, and that was good. It's one of the things we missed. But if you look at the photo, this is the, if we can go back to the house, this is the Victory House. This is an older picture. We've put some more balconies on there and everything, but this is the base. And so what I do is I manage the base, and I coordinate projects on the Baja. So whether it's going ministering into a young men's rehab or a prison, or we're doing construction at a senior's home or construction at a daycare. I coordinate the team, so I find out the needs in the community, find out where we're bearing fruit. And where there's ministries that are bearing fruit, we connect them with the skills of a team. So I find the teams that are coming in, we put them together, and then we come in. The teams will supply the finances. We go in there, and we do projects. And so it's, I think when I counted in the guest book before I left, and we had over 100 visitors. And by far the majority of those 100 people were missionaries coming in on short-term mission trips to do work. And so I get the pleasure of meeting all kinds of people from all kinds of places and then connecting them. And it's really exciting to see what God does when you connect these people that are eager to serve and to come in and to share in the giftings there. One of the things that I really love is to see giftings come out of people. I love to see when you put people in a place, and you got to apply a little bit of pressure, a little bit, and then you see what comes out of them, and it's really rewarding to see what takes place. And you know, as I look across the congregation here too, there's so much potential, and there's things that have been untapped in people's lives. And someplace like Ensenada, we go there, and things just come out, and they rise up within people, and it's just good to see what God does. We're winning souls, we're discipling, we're probably doing a lot of discipling. So I'm just going to go through some of these photos, but we don't suffer. We've got a good facility there, and I encourage you, if it's on your heart or if you'd like to come out as a team, talk to Pastor Jordan. That's the first step, and then look at putting something together. So if we can go to the next picture, this is the view from the house. Ensenada is about 500,000 people. The ocean is there, Pacific Ocean, and I know the city pretty good. I don't need Google Maps too much anymore. And I've learned that four-way stops are just a suggestion. you're aggressive or you don't make it. You sit for a while. But it's a good city. There's lots happening. There's some good churches there. But once you get out of the city, there's a tourist part in the city. And then once you get out of there, you're in Mexico. And it's very much, there's lots of poverty. There's lots of hardships. Lots of things. Devastation is happening in people's lives. And we can't help everyone, but we're sure making a difference in some people's lives. Can we see the next photo? This is a school that it's in a migrant work camp. The place is called Ojos Negros. And the migrant workers come from southern Mexico, mostly Oaxacan. And they come and the parents go out and work in the fields. And so there was a group from Canada that donated the funds for this. And it was built by the people, the local people, so they had something invested in it. And so we went there. The roof is starting to need repairs. So that's one team, one need that we have for is a team to come down and help fix the roof on that. And there's a, they started a lunchroom beside it, and it needs to be built. So there's lots to do. And we went in here, we met some of the children. Because there was a school planted there, the government supplied a teacher. There's not much in there. We did some quick repairs on the roof, but we'd like to go and fix this place up a little bit more. And if that building didn't exist there because someone came and made a difference, those kids wouldn't have an education. So they go to about grade 6 in there, and then they have the opportunity to go further to education. But most of them, by far, what happens is they go work in the fields to create an income. And these people, what happens is they have probably about 5 months out of the year to make their income, and the rest, there's no work in the fields, so it can get kind of desperate there for a while. And it's hot. Ensenada is reasonable, but it's hot when you travel inland a bit. So next photo. This was a team. There's Pastor Morris from Chilliwack, and they brought a team. The finances for this water tower was donated by Victory Churches International, and it's for a lady that has a daycare for single moms and for their children after-school care. So the kids come there after school. She feeds them, and she's ministering to them. She's been there for about 12 years preaching the gospel, and she's seen the next generation coming in now. Their kids are coming in. And this is Socorro in the middle in the light blue shirt. Beautiful lady, a good heart. And if you look on be my right, but you'll see the guy with the kind of the sweatshirt hanging around his neck there. That's Noe. Noe's my translator. And Noe likes to make knives. So what we decided to do is we needed to raise some funds, and through some generous support, Noe, his income is $150 Canadian a month. And it gets him by. But so what we decided to do was to make these. So what we do with these is we go into the junkyards and we find leaf springs, and then we heat them up in a homemade forge. We flatten them out, and then he takes a grinder, and he grinds these into shape, and we've numbered them. This is number 3. One day, about 400 years from now, these will be worth a lot of money. So there's a couple here that we want to use as a fundraiser, and the fundraiser would be for both Noe and for myself. So this water tower, can you imagine 30 kids at your daycare and no running water? That's what they were dealing with. So it's been a huge blessing to put that up. We connected them into a water line so they have water. And she does a tremendous ministry to children. And in the midst of lots of sorrows and heartaches on a personal level of herself, she rises above that and loves on these children. So it's wonderful things are happening there. So we do support her. And someone else has donated $150 a month for her support. So we get that to her, and that makes a difference in her life. Next photo. This was one of the teams. I think this was out of Lethbridge, one of the teams. We went into this area, and this was just a slum area. We walked in there. There was rats everywhere. But in the midst of it, we found there was lots of drug addicts in there living. But we also found this old couple in their 80s. Well, he's in his 80s. He's 81, I believe. So we met them in there, and we just said, you can't stay here. We got to get you out. The drug addicts were there. The rats were stealing their food. They had trouble. The flies, the lady, the wife was sick. So we just prayed to find a place. And we ended up finding a seniors home out in the country where they bring in seniors and they love on them. And they'll bring them in. A lot of them come in as unbelievers. They love on them. They give their hearts to God. And they pass away here. And it's not much of a facility that we've moved them to, but it's clean. And they're loved on it, and they kept, when we moved them over there, and Brooks was an influential part of getting them out of there. I don't know if you saw the photos of Kevin carrying the lady. So we got them there, and they kept asking, when's it going to end? When's it going to end? They thought they were going to have to leave, and it doesn't have to end. It's just, you know, through support, we can keep things like this going, the seniors' home. And one team came, and we built a dorm for them. Men were sleeping in the washroom. They were sleeping in the kitchen. There was people sleeping everywhere because the facility was so small. But we got a dorm, so we got about 8 or 9 are sleeping in the dorm now. So they got their kitchen back. They got their bathroom back. And there's more additions that need to be made there as well. Next photo. So here's There's the team from Brooks worked at this was this home is Socorro's for the daycare. She was teaching the kids in the dirt with a little canvas shelter, and so we got this lean we built. We poured concrete, and through your support, through the finances that you've donated here, we could make that those changes, and it's made a world of difference and made it easier to minister to the children. So she got this lean-to to keep the kids out of the sun, plus she got her running water. Made ministry a lot better for her. Next photo. And this was at this is at the seniors' home. This guy is Carlos. He's the director of the seniors' home. And if you ever get a chance to come out there, just this place is very unique. But we had one young guy that wanted to get baptized. So we had this steel tank in the middle of this orange grove in the middle of the backcountry. And so we got this one young guy baptized, and he came down. And then there was this 81-year-old guy that we had transferred there. He says, I want to get baptized too. So we brought him in. We dunked him, baptized him. And you could have reached over the baptismal tank, the old steel tank, and grabbed a lemon and chewed on a lemon if you wanted to. It was just in the middle of the field. And then this guy here, he's paralyzed, and all he had on was a Depends, and he wanted to get baptized. So they wheeled him up there in a wheelchair. We picked him up, Carlos and myself. We got him in the water. We dunked him down, got him out, and they all came out rejoicing. And then he was so happy. And he's since passed away. He passed away about a month ago. But a believer, loving God, life transformed. And then I call this ministry 1159 ministry because they get these guys and they typically, because they're alone, they haven't lived a good life. They probably had bad relationships and don't have relationships with their children. But in it all, I see God's mercy because he takes these men and he loves on them. And then their lives get transformed. One guy was 98 years old. In the devotion that night, he gave his heart to God. The next morning, he passed away during the morning devotion. That's God's grace, eh? And he was an abrupt guy, I'll put it gently. But yet, at that time, God touched me. It's amazing. Do we have another photo? And then, I don't know if some of you know Ken. Ken Lesmeister came down there. He says, you want to get baptized in the ocean? We went to the ocean. The ocean was cold. He said, no, I don't want to go there. So I said, I know where there's hot springs. So we took him to the hot springs, and he got baptized in the hot springs and in front of everybody. So it was good, a good testimony, and he's doing very well. Is that the last one, Roy? Yeah, okay. What I want to do is extend a welcome to you to come to Mexico as a team, and we can work together and get some things accomplished. It's wonderful. And I love what I do. I love what I'm doing. Wanted to share a scripture with you, and we look at the times that we live in and the things that are going on, and I believe this scripture is for the body of Christ like never before. And it's Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, we live in times where there's going to be attacks on the body of Christ. There's going to be attacks in relationships. Things seem to be really being tuned up in the attack against the body of Christ. But above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so we need to guard our hearts very carefully, very diligently. You know, in the good times, in the bad, you have to guard your heart. We have to be vigilant. When we're waiting on something, when we're waiting on God, we have to be vigilant. We have to guard our hearts. The enemy can come in and he can trip you up, and he'll use innocent situations and people. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I thought, well, how can we guard our hearts? How can we know what's there? And so I took a look in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. And it says that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. It does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And love never fails. So I was wondering, how can we do this? And so if you could take your heart, and if you could hold it in front of you, And if you could look at, if we could each one look at our hearts, and we're not holding anybody else's heart, we're holding our own heart here, and we're looking at our own heart. And if you looked at it, and then if you could have glasses that had 1 Corinthians 13 written on your glasses. And so you would hold our, we hold our hearts there, and we look through 1 Corinthians 13 at our hearts, and we look at that, and we say, do I see that in my heart? Is that my heart? Or am I easily angered? And then what we do is we take that and we look at that and we say, God, I'm easily angered. I'm not sure what it is, but God, help me. Help me not to be easily angered. Help me to change. And we ask God, and I've sure learned in the last year that we take things honestly to God, and he's faithful. And he loves to work in our hearts, and he loves to release us from things that maybe shouldn't be there, or things that we've been affected by in our past. So if we're honest, we hold our heart out there and we look at it and say, you know, this is me. And okay, I'm okay in this area, but this area I sure need help. And we look at our hearts and ask God to do heart surgery. And he loves to do heart surgery. And he wants us in that place where we can guard our heart, and we can be one those that show love. So Jesus, before he left this earth, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And I want to read that in John 13, 34 and 35. And then I got another version on my phone. I wanted to read it also. So John 13, 34 to 35 says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So it's the key is that the people around see the love. Now, if we don't guard our hearts, and we're not allowing something like 1 Corinthians 13 to guide and to shape us and direct us, we can't love effectively. And love is a choice in many times, but also love is based on that. It has to be based on that relationship with our Father. And I really love how it says, there's a version I looked at here. And so what is love? And this is, I've never heard of the translation before, to be honest with you, but it's the Passion Translation. And here's Jesus speaking. He says, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So we look at the extent that Jesus loved us. And I mean, that extent was to the cross, is giving up his life for us. And he's saying, this is how they're going to know. This is how they're going to know that you are my true disciples, is that you live for one another and you love one another. And I believe God is taking us to that as a body of believers. And the key is to guard our hearts and to walk in that relationship with him. And he leads us. And he's going to give us opportunities to walk in things where his love is expressed through us, through one another. And it's a lot of it is letting go of ourselves, letting go of our rights and who we are, and allowing Christ to be formed in us. And God's good. He's so good. He's so faithful. We've seen his faithfulness time and time again in Mexico, in Brooks, India. Good to see Pastor Jay Seelan, Brad and Wendy, Pastor Bill and Audrey, and everyone else. Thank you for your prayers and your support.